Greetings, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our unit on culture, and we're going to talk about something that has to do with Chinese culture, especially a very revered figure in Chinese culture, Confucius, or Kongzi, as you call him here. But we're saying that Kongfuzi, or Confucius, is kind of going political nowadays. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's all about Chinese language and cultural education in the U.S., and China is actually helping pay for some of these classes, but maybe they might be a little controversial.
Well, they've been doing this for a while. I was telling Tom before we started that years ago, just as China was opening, you know, they were closed so long from the rest of the world. When they were first starting to open, they were actually paying universities to convince them to teach simplified characters in their Chinese courses. So that's how some of these universities started teaching simplified. I know when I was in college, they were only teaching traditional, and then, later the simplified came, and we're like, what's going on? But this is how countries use soft power. Hard power is, you know, with the weapons and, you know, showing everybody you're really strong. But soft power is often used by countries to influence others and influence other citizens to feel good about their own country. This is how they're doing it. So they're paying some of these places that are teaching classes in Confucius classrooms, which is Chinese language courses and other things. They're actually helping to pay for those, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, other people might be saying, yeah, but, you know, Western countries have been doing that all along, you know, so you can't complain about China. But we'll find out that there's a little bit of a difference here later on when we discuss this. And we're going to actually read through the entire contents of our article right now. It's all about Confucius going political. Let's listen. If a school program is just teaching a foreign language, one could hardly argue that the instruction is political. However, with China, things might be different. That's the burning issue behind a recent controversy involving Chinese language learning classes called Confucius Classrooms in New South Wales, NSW, Australia. Several NSW schools are paid at least $10,000 a year by the Chinese government to offer its Chinese language courses, which have been accused of spreading propaganda and restraining freedom of speech. Both Confucius Classrooms, which are offered to secondary schools, and Confucius Institutes, which are established at universities, are part of the same organization. They are financed by the Office of Chinese Language Council International, or Hanban, which is headed by a number of high-ranking Communist Party of China CPC officials. The stated objectives of Confucius Institutes and Classrooms are to promote Chinese language and facilitate cultural exchanges. In terms of CPC's scheme, however, both are diplomatic tools meant to wield China's soft power internationally. Since 2004, Hanban has cooperated with local colleges and universities around the world, and it aims to establish 1,000 Confucius Institutes globally by 2020. Most criticism of Confucius Institutes and classrooms centers on their relationship with the Chinese government. A Politburo member blatantly stated that they are an important part of China's overseas propaganda setup. Hanban intends to justify the establishment of Confucius Institutes and classrooms by comparing them to their Western counterparts, such as the UK's British Council, Germany's Goethe Institute, and France's Alliance Française. Nevertheless, these associations are independent from their governments, and they do not spark worries about political interference. Given their dubious reputation, Confucius Institutes have seen increasing resistance from prestigious universities in recent years. France's University of Lyon severed ties with its Confucius Institute in 2013, as did the University of Chicago in 2014, and Sweden's Stockholm University in 2015, to name just a few.
Okay, guys, when Confucius goes political, if you're political, of course, you're talking about the politics of your country, what's going on with your government, the public affairs of your government, those sorts of things. Now, if a school program is just teaching a foreign language, seems pretty harmless, doesn't it? They're just learning a language. How is that political? Well, one could hardly argue. It's hard to argue, that means. The instruction is political. Sure doesn't seem like it's political to me, you know. Mm. Just learning verbs and nouns and adjectives. How is that political? But we're going to find out that it really can be. And China's kind of turned instruction into politics, you could say.
Yep, it's going political, and we are going to begin with a statement here. If a school program is just teaching a foreign language, one could hardly argue that the instruction is political. Instruction is the process in which a teacher conveys information to students. So, yeah, during the instruction, how could it be political? Unless, of course, most of the vocabulary is all about the Communist Party, and the example sentences seem to have a lot of references to Zhou Enlai and Mao Zedong and stuff like that, then you might say, yes, this is kind of political, but I think they try to be neutral in a lot of that by having, you know, Xiao Zhang and Xiao Li or whatever, and taking their dog for a walk or something like that. Nothing about, you know, a revolution for the masses and uprisings and things like that, no. So, yeah, you'd find it difficult to argue that that instruction is political. You might think, ah, it's just very neutral.
Yeah, typically I think, well, I've always thought of language learning as neutral. Depends on your teacher, though, I guess, and how the class is set up. But it says, however, with China, things might be different. We're going to be talking about this for the next couple of days. That's the burning issue behind a recent controversy involving Chinese language learning classes called Confucius Classrooms in New South Wales, which is located in Australia. Now, if you're talking about a controversy, you're talking about a topic of conversation where there's a lot of disagreement. People have very strong opinions on both sides. So there's a controversy coming up, and we're going to look into that controversy that's happening in Australia in a place called New South Wales, or NSW.
Mm-hmm, indeed. So, of course, we all know that China's economy is on the rise, and eventually they're going to be the world's largest economy. So people in all sorts of countries want to get in on the act and learn Chinese and do business with China and make a ton of money and stuff like that. So, of course, even down in Australia, where they're pretty laid back down there, lots of people there want to learn Chinese. And we've got these things called Confucius Classrooms in a part of Australia called New South Wales. They've got different territories there with different names and stuff like that. This is one of them. And several NSW schools are paid at least $10,000 a year by the Chinese government to offer its Chinese language courses, which have been accused of spreading propaganda and restraining freedom of speech. Okay, so you've got the Chinese government, and they're willing to give some kind of financial assistance to schools in Australia. And, of course, as you know, universities all over the world are always short of cash. They never have enough money. Yeah. So if the Chinese government says, hey, you know, we'll help you pay for your Chinese classes there, you don't have to come up with the money. You don't have to rely on tuition or taxes. We'll pay for it, and we'll offer you all the curriculum, the textbooks, and stuff like that. So, of course, they're saying yes to this. They're paid $10,000 a year by the Chinese government to offer those Chinese courses. But these courses, or at least this particular program, has been accused of spreading propaganda. If you're accused of something, people are saying that you've done something wrong. To be accused of usually means somebody says you did something illegal or something naughty, something bad. Propaganda is just information in which you're trying to get people to accept some kind of information or a cause, like during the Cultural Revolution, of course, there was a lot of propaganda. You know, Mao Zedong Wan Sui or Zhonghua Renmin Gonghe Guo Wan Sui, that's all propaganda. And they had all the posters and propaganda songs and parades. And, of course, you know, nowadays North Korea is full of propaganda with those big demonstrations and how they love Kim Jong-il. He's their heavenly father and stuff like that. That's all part of propaganda.
Actually, I think most countries' politics is just a bunch of propaganda. It's just information that someone wants you to believe, and they sometimes will mislead you, or they'll sometimes spin information, which means they interpret information like they want to. So propaganda is actually, it's been going on for a long time, and it will continue, I'm sure, in the years to come. If you are spreading propaganda about restraining freedom of speech, that's not so good in countries that are democracies that consider freedom of speech very, very important. And of course, in China, they don't have freedom of speech. If you restrain something, you prevent it, you hold it back, you don't let it, you don't allow it to freely move and do what it wants to. Sometimes if maybe your dog gets really angry and starts to bark and wants to bite somebody, you have to restrain your dog by holding it back and not letting it go and bite someone and get you in trouble. So they're restraining freedom of speech. They're preventing people from saying what they want.
Well, let's move on now to the next paragraph here. It says, both Confucius classrooms, which are offered to secondary schools, and Confucius Institutes, which are established at universities, are part of the same organization. So I guess you've got two separate organizations that are part of a larger organization. You've got one branch of this organization for secondary schools, which are like elementary schools, high schools, middle schools, stuff like that. These are called Confucius classrooms. And then you've got Confucius Institutes, which are for universities. But again, they're all part of the same organization.
Now, for most of us in the States, you can start studying foreign languages starting in junior high. So junior high to high school, that stage of education, at least in the States, is referred to as secondary schools. So maybe starting at age 11, you're going to be going to a secondary school, either junior high or high school. So that's where they come into contact with the Confucius classrooms. And then the other part of the organization called Confucius Institutes, they're actually established at universities. But both of these groups, Confucius classrooms and Confucius Institutes, they're part of the same organization.
They indeed are, and we're going to continue talking about these different educational institutes in just a couple of seconds, but right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要探讨的议题呢，叫做孔子学院。首先来看到在第一段里面提到的这个争议性的话题，在第一段的最后一句提到 ，Several NSW schools are paid at least $10,000 a year by the Chinese government to offer its Chinese language courses, which have been accused of spreading propaganda and restraining freedom of speech. 这个句子很长，主词呢就是提到在澳洲新南威尔斯的一些学校呢，一年至少呢，中国政府会付给他们10,000的澳币来做什么呢？就去做这些 Chinese language courses。中文的课程，而呢这样子呢，这些中文课程我们后面补充说明，用逗号跟 which， 它就被控呢，其实在散布这个政府的宣传，以及限制了言论的自由。当我们说到 be accused of， 也就是有被控以怎么样子罪名的意思。而 propaganda 就是我们常常听到政府用来所做的一些文宣或者是宣传活动。我们要来看的，在这一句里面有个重要的动词叫做 restrain， 它其实就有抑制、 遏止的意思，后面可以直接加名词，像是 I couldn't restrain my laughter， 也就是代表着我忍不住笑了出来。而如果你想要制止某人从事怎么样的活动，你就可以搭配 from 再加上 ving。 举个例子来说，我们阻止孩子们在铁路旁玩耍，你就可以说 We restrained the children from playing by the railroad。 接着来看到第二段的第一个句子， Both Confucius classrooms which are offered to secondary schools and Confucius institutes which are established at universitiesare part of the same organization。 在这里提到的就是提供给中学的孔子教室 Confucius Classrooms， 以及设在大学里面的孔子学院 Confucius Institutes， 这两个后面都一样用逗号跟 which 来补充说明，他们都同属于一个呢由这个中国国家汉语国际推广领导小组所组成的一个组织。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson for today. Again, we're talking about Confucius classrooms and Confucius institutes. They are part of the same organization, and they're being accused of spreading propaganda and restraining freedom of speech, at least in New South Wales, Australia. Okay, now these two particular educational institutes and educational organizations are financed by the Office of Chinese Language Council International, or Hanban, which itself is headed by a number of high-ranking Communist Party of China officials. Okay, so again, that sounds very much part of the Chinese government to me. It's financed by this particular department of the government of the United Nations. No, the government of China, excuse me.
No.
Finance here as a noun just means money is provided to pay for something. So it's financed. These institutes are financed by this office of the Chinese government. It's called Hanban for short. I'm not sure what the Chinese name of this, Hanban or something. And then that itself is headed by lots of communists or high-ranking Communist Party of China officials. CPC is Communist Party of China. And so we've got a lot of party members ahead of that organization. So yes, indeed, these institutes sound very much part of the Chinese government to me.
They do. Well, this is the stated objectives of the Confucius Institutes and classrooms are to promote Chinese language and facilitate cultural exchanges. Well, that sounds harmless to me. Your objectives, of course, are your goals, what you want to achieve. So what are they wanting to achieve? This is what they want to do. They want to promote the Chinese language, which is actually getting quite popular around the world. I was telling Tom in the States, they're really especially for the younger kids, they're starting to study Chinese. That was never offered when I was a child. You could take Spanish, German, or French. Some Japanese as I got older, but those were the world has changed, let's just say.
They only had Spanish and German in my high school.
Oh.
And there were some Vietnamese boat people in my high school then, so I suppose if you were interested in studying Vietnamese, you could have talked to them and they may have tutored you one-on-one or something like that. But nowadays, yeah, languages are quite important in the United States, especially Chinese and Arabic and Spanish and Japanese and Korean and all those fun languages. So again, this particular organization wants to promote Chinese language and to facilitate cultural exchanges. To facilitate just means to make things easier, to make them happen quickly.
Yeah.
And in terms of CPC's scheme, however, both are diplomatic diplomatic tools meant to wield China's soft power internationally. Okay, so yes, indeed, they're not just doing this for free. They're not doing it just because they're nice people. China, of course, is developing Africa, and they're not doing it just because they feel sorry for those poor Africans. No, they've got some kind of ulterior motive there. They want to get something out of it. So, of course, what they really want here is to wield their power internationally. To wield, in this particular case, means mostly to hold a weapon or a tool, but also to hold or have some kind of power that can be of an advantage to you.
Yeah, to wield, I always think of using power, using something in some way. It's a scheme they've got, which means it's kind of a secret plot. Maybe something they don't want other people to know about. So when you see scheme, I always think, ooh, someone's trying to do something. Maybe they're not supposed to. Maybe it's illegal. Something like that. It's kind of got a negative feeling to me. So when you see it, you should be suspicious. You need to find out what people are really doing. It says here that, however, both are diplomatic tools meant to wield China's power, a soft power, that is, internationally. So they're using it to kind of develop some influence in these other countries without us really being aware of it, kind of doing it without us noticing. Well, since 2004, Hanban has cooperated with local colleges and universities around the world. Now, here's one of its goals or aims or objectives. Those are all similar terms. It aims, and here we're using it as a verb, it aims to establish 1,000 Confucius Institutes globally by 2020. They've got a big plan here. That's a lot of schools. Now, when you cooperate with somebody or something, usually you're working together with someone and you have the same goal in mind. So they've cooperated with these colleges and universities around the world because they're working with these schools to set up their own, you know, Chinese or Confucius institutes and classrooms.
Indeed. And again, they want to establish all sorts of institutes all over the world so they can wield their power and influence and probably change people's opinions about various political things involving, say, Diao Yutai and those islands in the South China Sea and stuff like that. So, yeah, eventually they're probably, they have their goals in mind there. Well, most criticism of Confucius Institutes and classrooms centers on their relationship with the Chinese government. Well, basically, people are criticizing them. Yeah, this is supposed to be educational. It's not supposed to be political. The government is not supposed to be involved in this. And then we've got a member of the Politburo. This person blatantly or clearly stated that they are an important part of China's overseas propaganda setup. So basically, they are admitting it themselves. Yeah, it is part of our propaganda. We do want to spread our message all over the world and get people to accept what we believe.
So they're pretty obvious. They're stating it very obvious because the Politburo member is a Communist Party member. So they're saying it, yeah, that's what we're doing. Hanban intends, if you intend to do something, that's your objective, your plan, that's your purpose, you want to do that, they intend to justify or to give you a reason why this is important for them to set up these institutes and classrooms. They're saying, hey, we can do it because guess what? Earlier, the West did the same thing. Your Western counterpart would just be similar organizations and other governments doing the same thing, setting up institutes and classrooms for people to learn maybe English or Spanish or French. Your counterpart is anyone who has the same job but is in a different country or a different company than you, your counterpart.
Basically, they're saying, well, you guys do it, so why can't we? Okay, so these are the Western counterparts, such as the British Council of the UK, the Goethe Institute of Germany, and Alliance Française from France. Okay, so yeah, you guys are doing it, so we can too, but never Nevertheless, these associations are independent from their governments. So, yeah, they might be doing this too, but they're not actually part of the governments. These are associations, which are basically just people together for some kind of joint purpose or something. The National Basketball Association is a common example of that. And they are independent from the governments. They're not part of the actual governments. And they do not spark worries about political interference. People aren't complaining that the Goethe Institute is spreading Nazi propaganda.
No. Yeah, they're completely separate from the government. It says these associations are independent. An association is a group of people. They're organized for a purpose that they want to accomplish or achieve together. So these are organizations or associations that are independent from their governments, and they don't spark or start, that's what spark means, to start worries about political interference or getting involved in countries' politics where you're not wanted. That's interference. Given their dubious reputation, Confucius Institutes have seen increasing resistance from prestigious universities in recent years. Universities are saying, hey, hold on. We don't want you here. We don't really think you're doing everything that's above board. We think you might be doing some things that are bad. If you have a dubious reputation, it's a reputation where people doubt you. They have suspicions about you, especially about what you're up to or if you're doing something bad.
Yeah, some food companies here in Taiwan have been given a bad reputation because of scandals involving
dubious actions, you could say.
Indeed,
yeah.
About their cooking oil. So We've got some examples here. The University of Lyon in France, they severed ties with Confucius Institute in 2013. Sever just means to cut. They cut ties. Mm-hmm. They're not working with them. And then the University of Chicago did this in 2014. And then Stockholm University in Sweden did this just last year, to name just a few. So these are a few examples. There may be many, many more. So who knows? Maybe foreigners are going to have to start learning their Chinese from somebody else. Maybe from people from Taiwan here. They speak a pretty good form of Chinese here. Well, that brings us to the end of our lesson. Let's hear once more from our very clear-speaking Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看到第二段中间的句子, the stated objectives of Confucius Institutes and classrooms are to promote Chinese language and facilitate cultural exchanges. 在这里的objective当作名词是有目标、目的的意思。 举个例子来说,我的目标就是要获得大学教育。 你就可以说, a college education is my objective. 而这些孔子教室跟孔子学院的目的呢,就是在推广中文。 我们在这里用了promote,有推广提倡的意思。 除此之外,还要facilitate cultural exchanges, 要能够促进这些文化的交流。 后面句子接着写道, in terms of CPC's scheme, however, both are diplomatic tools meant to wield China's soft power internationally. 其实呢,就以这个CPC指的就是 Communist Party of China, 中国共产党的计划来说呢,这两个都是打算能够在国际上来发挥中国软实力的 diplomatic tools, 外交工具。 这一句里面,我们可以来看一下这个名词 scheme, 当作名词, 有计划跟方案的意思。 举个例子来说, Jack's scheme for raising money is practicable, 代表着Jack他想要募款的计划是相当可行的。 而他们透过呢这个汉办来促进他们想要达到的目的。所以在第三段中间提到，其实汉办呢想要借由把这个孔子学院跟孔子教室呢把它当作西方国家的相当类似的组织。在这里的justify其实就是有使合理化的意思，像是英国文化协会、德国的歌德学院或者是法国文化协会 都把它当作想要来证明它的设置是合理性，是有正当性的。然而后面句子谈到 Nevertheless, these associations are independent from their governments, and they do not spark worries about political interference. 然而这些西方国家的这些组织呢，都是独立于政府的作为之外，所以当然也不会引发有政治干涉的担忧。在这里我们要看的是 association, 也就是有联盟或者是社团的意思，像我们常常说的 Teachers Association, 也就是有教师协会的意思。 OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's the end of our program for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, but please join us again next time because we're going to continue talking about when Confucius goes political. Please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.